Welcome to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM. It is 7 AM on a Saturday. You have Zach Gandra and Steve Gandra here. Hello, Steve.
Who in the world would ever wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning to listen to a show on business culture?
I don't know.
It's all you workaholics out there that are on the way to the office to catch up on Saturday morning. We're so glad that you're there because you make our life meaningful.
Or you're a workaholic in your garage right now, tinkering with your car, mowing your lawn, and perhaps you're buying Christmas presents because it's almost Christmas.
Yeah, and if we do our jobs right, you'll learn so much from our guests that you'll be able to buy more Christmas presents than you've ever bought before.
That's wonderful. Generosity is a good thing. So we're going to be here today, and we are talking to a wonderful friend of ours, Jeff Rogers, who's been a friend of Steve's for many, many years. I've had the opportunity to meet once or twice as well, and we're excited to get him on the line. But Steve, give us an update as going into Christmas. What's Excellent Culture's been up to lately? Who have you been talking to? And what's going on?
Well, we're doing lots of work these days with Toyota, especially the Scion division. Toyota, as everyone knows, is a great car company.
If you're listening, Scion, you could sponsor us and give me a new car. That would be awesome.
They should give everybody a new car that listens to this show.
They should. That would be spectacular.
Yeah, just a great car company that's had some real tough challenges in the last couple of years. Had a lot of their plants in Japan wiped out by the tsunami, and then got some bad publicity for some unwarranted acceleration lawsuits that I'm told they found out were typically the cause of people who put as many as 6 floor mats on the floorboard of their car. So I had some great time working with Toyota. We've also been doing some real exciting work here in Washington State with the Washington State Department of Commerce. Rogers Weed, the director of the State Department of Commerce, wonderful leader, former Microsoft guy. If you didn't catch his show a few weeks ago, visit excellentcultures.com and grab the podcast, because wonderful, insightful leader. If you're in the manufacturing business or in the healthcare business or any business that's about implementing lean process, which, by the way, lean process is the American name for the Toyota production system, you want to listen in for sure. Had the great opportunity today just to speak with a leader of a technology firm that is tasked with implementing a change management process in under 6 months to total company turnaround to new results. That's always a challenge, but we love those kind of opportunities at Excellent Cultures. That's where we excel. Make change happen fast in a way where everybody wins. We love it.
Everybody wins, and your employees want to keep coming to work, and we are excited about leaders becoming transparent and showing them those things that we can help them change and grow. That's an exciting part of what we do. Steve, you just recently made the move to Bellevue, all the way from Pull Y'all Up, Washington, and most of our listeners here in Seattle and Tacoma. So what are a couple of clients we've worked with in the Bellevue? Salient Six is some good friends of ours. We've worked with them. Those guys, some stuff with, who else have we worked
with? Network Computing Architects. Great firm led by a wonderful leader and CEO, Tom Gobel.
Wait, is he on the show?
We've got him coming. Tom is, his firm protects your network against the bad guys, the hackers who were told by Tom and his team are no longer geeks on Friday night who can't get a date, but they are nation states and organized crime who are out there crawling around in cyberspace trying to grab your money and grab your information. And Tom and his guys at Network Computing Architects know how to help you stop that. And thanks to our great relationship, Excellent Cultures has been able to have some contribution into Network Computing Architects building some great people in a great culture that is really making a difference in cyberspace.
Yeah, Tom's the first one where we say the slogan quite a bit here that we want to help the good guys win. Tom's where we stole that from. He's like, he was upset that day we were talking. He's like, I'm tired of the bad guys winning in business. I'm tired of it. I'm ready for the good guys to rise up and win. And that's what we're all about, and that's what we're here. And I know that's what Jeff Rogers is all about as well. Jeff is the CEO and the chairman and CEO of One Accord, who's a company we're definitely partnered with and do a lot of work with, as well as chairman of Doing Good Foundation. Welcome, Jeff Rogers. Tell us a little bit about yourself. We're glad you're on the show.
Hey, Zach, thank you. And Steve, it's great to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity. Hopefully people's sand is out of their eyes and they've had a little coffee to get them jump-started. And it is really a pleasure to be here. You know, I've known Excellent Cultures and Steve for a number of years and have seen just the phenomenal, really restorative work that they do in organizations to get the most productivity through the people, not from, but through them, that they work with. And I've seen well-known companies, as you mentioned, or some that are smaller, for nonprofits both, and am very thankful to have this time just to be able to even espouse that. I think, Zach, you'd like just a little introduction or background to One Accord, is that right?
Yeah. Tell us about One Accord and the great work that you're doing there, also all of the great work that you're doing in the Seattle marketplace with business leaders.
Well, I appreciate that, Steve, and that question. You know, I think we have great work that's taking place in this area as well as other offices we have because we have great people. And, you know, an organization, if it's most reflected by the people that it has, then I'm very, very thankful as a CEO to work with a team that I think exudes principles in the way that they engage in the market, and that's probably an identifying aspect of One Accord. We're not the only company, certainly, that works hard to make sure they have culturally aligned folks, but our two core values are absolute truth and absolute compassion, and so we say that as absolute truth means providing the full data set to an organization, not holding things back, and absolute compassion means delivering it in a way that it can be received. In other words, you can have the truth, but if folks don't have the ears to hear, not always sure that that serves anybody in doing that. So we work with a fabulous team based in the Northwest, and that works with both for and nonprofit organizations to help them grow in alignment with their strategic objectives. So we've been doing that for coming on a decade, not quite a decade old, and have worked with some well-known companies, you know, some big organizations like World Vision or Microsoft, but a lot of our clients represent kind of the small to mid-market space of business owners that are looking to improve profitable top-line growth, and that's what we do.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that has always impressed me about One Accord and your leadership at One Accord, Jeff, has been your ability to attract these partners who are all, you know, former business leaders in their own right, many and most of them former CEOs, who, you know, share a common set of values, you know, good guy values about, you know, doing the right thing, doing it right, doing it consistently in a, you know, a space of, you know, ethics and values, and of course your values of absolute truth and absolute compassion. Can you share with our listeners a little bit about your secret sauce of how you're able to attract folks who have these, you know, heartfelt values as a part of who they already are, and fold them into a team that is really making a powerful, positive difference in the marketplace?
Let me start with, you know, some of the lessons I think that really come from Steve, yourself, and Excellent Cultures. Part of what you've helped affirm, both confirm and affirm in myself and One Accord, is just how important culture is. And, you know, you have a culture whether you're intentional about it or not, which something's going to develop just like it does in a family or a sports team or whatever it might be. And so you've helped us to make sure to focus as an organization on really what those values are. And arguably, because we built around that at the core, that then becomes instrumental in how we select those that we work with within the organization. So ironically, a little bit, Steve, I think I would go down the path of that because we've been so definitive about it in our process, and I can give you an example if you'd like in, you know, that in the interviewing process. But because we're definitive, it's either that people are drawn towards it or pushed away from it, and that we're spelling out clearly, here's what we stand for as an organization, then I think some folks are like, wow, that's refreshing, that's different. you mean the end doesn't just justify the means. And there's a lot of people that believe in business, the end justifies the means. Or you hear the statement, well, it's just business. I'm not so sure if anybody can point to where that came from, that statement. Just like people say there's two things you don't talk about at work, and we all know what those are. But where'd that come from, and is that true? And I won't get into that second one, is it true or not, but the first one is, you know, where people justify behaviors by saying, well, it's just business. Is it really? I'm not sure it is, because I think it's really about relationships. And I like to say within our team that, you know, a relationship should transcend a transaction. Transactions will come and go.
Yeah, yeah. Relationships transcend transactions. Jeff, we're going to quote you on that one. So when you see, when your Twitter account pops up and says, these guys are talking about you, that's what we're talking about you about. What a great quote. So we're going to go to a break here in a second, but what would be nice if you could be thinking about that, I know our listeners would really love to hear when we get back from the break, is these values of absolute truth and absolute compassion. I mean, they sound kind of Pollyanna-ish,
right,
you know,
right.
Warm and fuzzy, rose-colored glasses, squishy, and the Wizard of Oz all kind of roll together, and it's not just the wizard, it's the follow the yellow brick road. Yet you have operationalized these into real business performance and business results. Our listeners are going to want to hear about that as soon as we get back from the break.
Yeah, we're heading into a break, everybody. You're on the air with Biz Culture Matters from excellentcultures.com. You can follow us at XLNT Cultures on Twitter. You can check us out on Facebook. Sign up for our daily culture coaching email. We'll be right back with Jeff Rogers.
Remember Ross Perot, the Texas millionaire who ran for president in the early 90s? Did you realize that he's built multiple companies that sold for billions? Each of his companies held a strong values-based culture. We interviewed his CFO and COO. His insightful comments on the role of culture in business are posted on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com. Take a look. You'll gain wonderful insights to building your own excellent cultures on excellentcultures.com. You can also follow us at XLNTCultures or Facebook/excellentcultures.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
As an executive, CEO, or business owner, do you find yourself struggling with work-life balance and achieving your goals at work and home? Are you overwhelmed in your workload and feel important things aren't getting done? Our coaches specialize in helping leaders like you overcome challenges and build a plan to recenter their life, to achieve the balance and success you've always hoped for in your business and your personal life. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures about the right plan for you.
And we're back. Biz Cultures Matters from excellentcultures.com. We're excited to have with us Jeff Rogers from One Accord. Steve, you are leading us into a great new question that we want to hear from Jeff. Why don't you preview that for us
again? Yeah, before the break, Jeff was sharing with us that the values that he has built the excellent culture of One Accord on are these values that he so well stated as absolute truth and absolute compassion. And, you know, just in listening to those, you know, they sound warm and fuzzy and squishy and, oh, nice Pollyanna kind of stuff. But, you know, Jeff, you've operationalized these values into real-world business application and systems and processes and how you deploy your work. Tell us a little about how you've done that and what advice you would have to our listeners who are good guys. You know, our our listeners, you know, the bad guys who want to lie, cheat, and steal, they're still asleep and they're not listening to this show at 7 in the morning. The good guys are. Tell us, you know, give these good guys some advice on how they can do this in their businesses.
Yeah, great question, Steve. You know, we all have heard and continue to hear the importance of mission, vision, values, objectives, goals, so on. And I do espouse that those are important, and we should all have them within the organizations. But I also realize, you know, for myself even, if someone says, can you spout off what your mission is, your vision, your values, your objectives, so on, here's what I can remember. Our values are at the core, absolute truth and compassion in this case. And I think keeping it simple and embedding that in your culture and articulating it at your meetings and in the processes that you have, whether it's sitting down with a potential customer in our case or someone that's interviewing to work with One Accord, when we can be overt about, you know, this is what we stand for. And I wish I were smart enough to remember all that other stuff. And I have it written down, you know, on, you know, some of it's on our website and some of it in our internal documents. But we just keep going back to that same thing over and over. Now, you're right, it could sound Pollyanna, right? It could sound good. Would it work to give two illustrations? Would that help?
Sure.
Here's just a simple one. We were in recently with a company that's a very well-known publicly traded company here in the Northwest. It's struggling significantly and likely will be at auction in the new year, unfortunately for us. And we were meeting with the board about 6 months ago about potentially doing an engagement with them to turn them around. And we believe we could have landed that engagement. I don't want to be presumptuous and say for sure. But more importantly, the principal that we had on that opportunity meeting with the board recognized the board was unwilling to do what it would take to turn this company around, a company that has, you know, locations in every market within the Seattle-Tacoma area, so you'd recognize it. And he walked. And he said, I'm not going to do it, because even though I could bill, in truth, they're not going to do what it's going to take. And so that's an example of you know, in truth, being willing to stand up for what's the right thing. Now, is it delivered in a way that's not intended to harm them? Is it delivered in a way that they could receive why? And it was, and it was done well enough that after that meeting, a couple board members came back to that principal and said, look, if this company does go to auction, we'd like to talk to you and One Accord about running it coming out of that bankruptcy process. And so we may or may not, we don't know, be involved in that as it comes back out based on the way that truth was delivered. So that's, you know, that's an example. Another one recently was working with a company that, and we've had about 450 clients. This is the only time we've had this, but where the CEO said to me, you know, I don't think we received the value that we had expected in this scenario. And in that, it was really clear amongst myself and a couple other guys, you know, let's just refund them the money and let's be above reproach in this. And we did for everything we had done up to that point. And the CEO, who interestingly has his own radio show in the Seattle area, just said to me, you know, it was just refreshing to know up front that that's what you stood for. And so we didn't have any concern going into the engagement. And we said to them, we're not sure we can deliver what you need because this is a very difficult scenario. So we did a little pilot project, didn't sync up. So we said, look, no harm, no foul, let's move on.
Yeah, very well said.
Those are two examples.
Yeah, very well said. One of the leaders that we've had the opportunity to interview on our blog series on developing cultures of ethics, values, and employee engagement is Ross Perot's chief operating officer. Everybody remembers Ross. He ran for president and changed the course of America with his race. And, you know, in interviewing Russell Freeman is his name. And by the way, you can find the blog article on our Culture News section of excellentcultures.com. But one of the things that we heard from Russell, who worked with Ross Perot for, you know, most, if not all, of his career, now serves as both COO and CFO, was how doing the right thing has been so much a part of the Perot system and the Perot culture for all these years that some Wall Street analysts actually got together and decided to track what business value the Perot culture actually had. And what they found was that Ross's first company, EDS, which sold to General Motors for billions years ago, and then Ross collected billions more for not being politically correct enough to serve on the GM board, is now owned by HP. And one Wall Street analyst interpreted the value of the company as zero, you know, ready to be shut down. And the only thing that was removed from the sale of that large company was just the senior management team, just the culture. Everything else was intact, the technology, the people, the systems, the processes. And then recently, in the last 3 years, they've sold their Perot systems to Dell Computers 3 years ago. Same thing, sold everything, all the people, all the technology, all the intellectual property, even their building, which they now lease space from Dell for. And you know, they wouldn't let us say on the radio or even in the blog series what the difference in the removal of the Perot culture, Perot system of values and ethics from that organization was, which is now a part of Dell. But it's not anywhere close to, you know, what it was sold for based upon what one Wall Street analyst, you know, assessed that it would be traded for today. So people talk about culture all the time, and a few recognizing the Harvard studies can tell you that, yeah, this is important and it drives the numbers and drives the bottom line. But Jeff, you know, you've been able to, you know, demonstrate it with these two couple of examples. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, not, you know, just your vision for a culture of ethics, values, and employee engagement, because you've already done that so well with the two examples that you shared, but where you've seen these types of cultures start to deteriorate in the marketplace and what our listeners should watch for in terms of telltale signs that they should look out for and pay attention to as, whoops, you know, we're off the mark here in terms of what's going to get us the best benefit for the long haul.
So, Steve, to make sure I'm capturing the question right, is to what are some telltale signs that a business owner could see in their own organization that may indicate that the culture is getting off track?
Exactly.
You know, I can share it actually internally rather than me speaking about any clients, and I'll just use ourselves as much as we know about this.
Whoa, transparency. What a refreshing concept to hear on the radio wave.
There you go.
Well, you know, it's like working out. We all know we should work out. But knowing something and then doing something about it may be different. And I think in our culture, we took for granted some of the very values of which we said we live by. And we saw some strategic opportunities in the marketplace, and we began to act upon some of those. And we did do them in truth, but we did them in a vacuum. We didn't do it where we really engaged throughout the organization other people's buy-in. We stepped back as a leadership team and said, we need to make some changes. And in wanting to expedite these changes so we could take advantage of opportunities, we stepped out of that regular dialogue, and we have an internal advisory council. So there's one practical idea for a business owner is we actually have a council that moves forward recommendations to leadership of what to do, and it's not a governance body, so it can't control, but it can influence, and we kind of sidestep that because we're trying to hurry and put in some changes. And to tell the story, I showed up for a meeting with one of our leaders and principals in Portland, where he's based, and without me knowing this was going to happen, two other people from the organization sat down at that meeting and showed up from Seattle and said, we'd like to resign from One Accord, and we're going to step out and we're going to do a different practice. And these were some of our top people. And the reality, Steve, of what was happened is they were hurt as we moved away from the culture that we had created. And they weren't so hurt by the decision, whether or not they agreed with it. They didn't as much. But it wasn't the decision that bothered them. It was the way the decision was made. And it wasn't made in alignment with the values that we said we stand for as an organization. And so in hurting them, they didn't want to disparage One Accord. They just said, we're going to step out and resign. And thankfully, through a process that ended up taking more time than it would have just to do it right the first time, those three members are still part of our team, and they're some of the most productive. And I think we're a fabric that was torn, that was woven back together. And sometimes that torn tapestry ends up stronger at the stitch marks than it does the rest of the tapestry. So I think it ended up being a good thing because we have some very mature, principally based people that just didn't bolt and turn the other way. But that's a really good example of not doing it the right way. And in losing key people that said it was for a different reason than what it really was, it took a while to get out. They were hurt by the decision. It initially started out around things they thought were wrong in the company. And when we got down to it, it was only for a cultural reason. It wasn't things were wrong in our structure or our strategy.
Wow.
So I think often we deal with the symptom, not the root. And
yeah.
The root's at the cultural level, not the tactical level.
That's huge.
What a great quote, that the tapestry is strongest at the point where it was woven back together. Jeff, you're going to see that on Twitter. Your name is going to be out there because we're going to capture that one and share it with everybody that we can, because not only have you said it, but from your own transparent example, you've demonstrated it and done a great job of it. When we get back from our break, we're going to want you to share with us some of your, you know, examples and thoughts around, you know, how this culture of ethics and values has impact on employee engagement. Does it, doesn't it? And what experience have you seen both in your own organization and with your clients?
You're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM. We are heading to a break. Catch you in one moment.
ExcellentCultures.com is always interviewing leaders committed to cultural leadership, excellence, and change. These leaders, like Russell Freeman, Ross Perot's COO, and Bob Hinton, CPA and Moss Adams Managing Partner, have world-class ideas. As advocates for creating a strong corporate culture that builds people and serves customers with excellence, they share breakthrough business ideas. Gain insights from Russell, Bob, and others on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
Has business taken over your life? Are you living to work or working to live? Stress, broken marriages, neglected relationships, and poor health are symptoms of a life out of balance. The right coaching plan can have transformational impact on the quality of your performance at work, depth of relationships at home, and personal sense of well-being. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures how coaching can help you maximize your life and optimize your work. Stop struggling to survive. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures how coaching can help you maximize your life and optimize your work.
We're back, everybody, on Clay 1180, Biz Culture Matters. We have Jeff Rogers from One Accord on the line. He just shared some incredibly transparent information modeling a great cultural leader while being on the radio with us. Jeff, thank you for sharing that. And we're going to head into Steve's questions now. Employee engagement, right? Everybody's wondering how to keep their employees, but more so, it's so much deeper than that. Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, and Jeff, maybe if you could go back to the example you just shared, you know, with that wonderful pithy quote of the tapestry being stronger at the point where it's woven back together. You know, when you decided to bite the bullet, and even though you didn't realize it and you were slipping off pace and were not living by your own stated and shared values, but were fortunate enough to have partners who, you know, called you on it and helped you get back and on track. What's the engagement level like with those partners now that things are woven back together and you chose the transparent route rather than the duck and run route as compared to what it was like before?
Steve, I appreciate the question. Wouldn't it be great if I could say, you know, they're 110% now and they're we are far past where we would have been at the outset. And while that's hopefully going to be true in, at some point in the future, I would say, you know, if you break trust, it takes a while to rebuild it. So I think through it, what is good is there's a greater level of depth that exists in intimacy amongst those folks that work through those difficulties coming out of it. But there is within that, those folks are looking to say, are we going to execute on what we said we would do relative to getting back to the values and the way we implement those values in the business? Their level of engagement, because we've invited them into that process and into those dialogues, has been tremendous. There's been an airing out of the issues amongst people relationally. But it's I'm going to guess probably an 18-month process to get back to what we probably veered off for maybe 12 months. So if you looked at the trajectory of the level of engagement, it's good. And I think arguably you can say for employee or team member retention that we had three people that actually sat down and said, I am leaving, or we are leaving, to then have all three be here. And if you take the top 10 people in terms of the production levels, all three of these fell in the top 10. You know, they were significant, and that they are contributing and part of the team is a sign that they see that things are moving in the right direction. But part of that then is creating an environment or a vehicle that allows people, without fear of a negative consequence of addressing issues, is available. And again, we created a council where people could speak into. And in this case, going directly to the parties involved and say, let's start here with the people that were hurt through it and come eye to eye. And it's not a positional thing, Steve. I think it's really important. It's not who's an admin and who's a CEO or who's a, you know, an inside salesperson or a welder, but to say as individuals we're equal, and so it's not there's not a stature level there to say, well, you can or can't say some things because you're not at the executive level. It's we cleared that to say, look, everybody needs to be able to say what they need to say and then create a right venue for everybody to do so. And we offered to have in this also someone that could be a third party, to invite someone like yourself in to say, would you like to have someone help us facilitate that? That ended up not needing to be the case, but I think that can be something that can help as well.
Yeah, great best practice. So Gallup's most recent data tells us that in this great country of ours, 71% of our employees working in organizations and businesses today are effectively disengage. I mean, they're coming to work just to get a paycheck and looking forward to quitting time so they can go do what they really want to do. Given this experience that you've had with your own partners and, you know, so many clients that you guys have the opportunity to work with. You know, what advice can you give to business leaders that are out there of how we can turn this thing around? I mean, 71% of any population being disengaged and just showing up to show up obviously is not a good thing.
Right. And again, this is I wish I had done this all correctly from both the outset and even continuing. There's a lot of room to go, I think, for any organization. So there's a question in here, Steve, that I think is really important, and that is, you know, what is the objective of the business? Is the objective to find people that align with the organization's or the company's goals and then move them in, you know, into that, saying, hey, here's our goals, here's where we want to go, get on board with this, or, and here's what I would suggest is the answer that I believe to be correct, it's to spend the time with someone and asking what is it that they want out of life, what's important to them, and be holistic in that question and open-ended as it relates to both personally and professionally, and they are in no obligation. Do they need to share anything they don't want to share? But at the same time, you're not trying to exclude things that might be important in their life. And I believe the role of an organization, of a company then, is to help them hit those goals in alignment with what we're trying to do as a company. So let me give you an example. Today in an interview with a candidate, I know it's very important for this person who has three younger kids at home not to be in a travel business. And as we were looking at One Accord, I realized there's significant financial opportunity for this person if he'd work both in this Northwest market and in the Bay Area. But I also understand that what's important to him as a primary is the time he's spending with the small kids. So I said to him, I wouldn't let you take this role while also operating the California territory simultaneously. You might be able to work a few clients there over time, but because of what you told me your objectives are, we're not going to let you go in that direction, even if that might mean more money for the company in doing so. So I think the answer is simply is to understand what someone values out of for their life, what they want that's important, and then help construct their role within their function around that.
Yeah, that's so well said.
We haven't had a lot of leaders say that on the show when asked that question. So I think that's key. That's huge, Jeff. Thank you.
You bet.
So kind of along those lines, when we interviewed you a week or two ago for our blog series, you gave us an example of a firm that you were representing and working with, the client firm, where, you know, this family matters subject matter came up again. And that, you know, the advice that I think you told us that you were giving to the firm is that if, in fact, you're going to have values that say family matters, and then the job description is all about travel, 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 be gone, be gone, be gone, don't be around when, you know, small kids are growing up, as you just mentioned, that you either need to change the value or change the practice. Can you give our listeners some enlightenment on that and what you feel like the outcome of your advice was?
Sure. You know, it's easy to ascribe our values that those should be someone else's. Evidence would be looking at Facebook in the 2 weeks prior to the election.
Yeah.
I didn't. I had to turn it off. I wanted to punch my computer.
Yeah, it got a little frustrating, and you'd post something up there that you thought was even, innocuous or maybe just slanted a little direction, and all of a sudden comments would go berserk, right?
Yeah.
So we have to be, we have to be careful. Someone may have heard that I said having a travel job is bad. No. What this person told me is his objectives were to be able to spend time with his family at home. Now, I think most people would say that's probably good, but that doesn't mean you have to align with those values. That's just what he said his values are. So in the case of a client company that has, in this instance, about 600 employees, it's based on the east side of, Seattle, they said that family values and providing an environment that's great for family is really important. And I would say the CEO and owner of the company really lives his personal life that way. That's true. And so in their candidate process, and they are interviewing consistently people to go to work for this company, and it's a growing company. They're doing great, but they have extraordinarily high turnover, and to the extent that they're one of Monster.com's largest customers in the actually in the world. And so they wanted to improve their employee retention, which is why we at One Accord were brought into this scenario, because it was costing them so much money to have this turnover. And the reality, Steve, is if you looked at their schedule, they work Monday through Saturday. This company's job is a six-day week. And then one weekend a month, they have a sales meeting on a Saturday, Sunday. And they expect people to travel away from their hometown for this so they can get more productivity. And I just met with the CEO and I said, look, this is inconsistent with what you're saying in your advertising. It's inconsistent with what you're saying this company is about. And therefore, you're finding people that really strongly value family and respecting that time, and they're getting in the role and it's very different. And I'm not saying it's wrong. It's just different than you're saying. Why don't you tell people this is a hard-charging, hard-working, you know, 26 days a month on, make a ton of money, get great experience that's going to help you for your career, make a money that's going to set you up for your future, and do this for a season and really do well and find people that like that and want that, and they'll do it from the time they're, you know, 22 till they're 29 or something. And then they can transition to another role within your company if there's a fit. Well, you know, expectedly, the retention rate went up significantly. And they didn't have nearly as many people complaining about the work environment. Now, I'm not saying that's the right environment or not. That's for the business owner to determine. Right? That's not my role to say what your value should be.
Yeah, it's so interesting how those tiny little changes can make such a huge difference in something that is as cost-intensive as turnover in a business. As we go to the break, Jeff, when we come back, we're going to ask you to give some advice to business leaders out there listening along the lines of, you know, what do you think that they can do to keep their values and their ethics intact? What do you, you know, what advice can you give them of, you know, how can they prevent slipping into the gray hole that you just described you found yourself in not too long ago? Because experience is a valuable teacher.
You're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 with Steve Vander and Jeff Rogers. We'll be right back.
Remember Ross Perot, the Texas millionaire who ran for president in the early 90s? Did you realize that he's built multiple companies that sold for billions? Each of his companies held a strong values-based culture. We interviewed his CFO and COO. His insightful comments on the role of culture in business are posted on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com. Take a look. You'll gain wonderful insights to building your own excellent cultures on excellentcultures.com. You can also follow us at XLNT Cultures or Facebook/Excellent Cultures.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
As an executive, CEO, or business owner, do you find yourself struggling with work-life balance and achieving your goals at work and home? Are you overwhelmed in your workload and feel important things aren't getting done? Our coaches specialize in helping leaders like you overcome challenges and build a plan to recenter their life to achieve the balance and success you've always hoped for in your business and your personal life. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures about the right plan for you.
We're back, listeners. Biz Culture Matters, brought to you by ExcellentCultures.com on Clay 1180 AM. Listening in on the conversation between Steve Gandra and Jeff Rogers of One Accord. This is some good stuff, guys. Keep it going. Steve, lead us into that that last question as we enter the last segment.
Yeah, before the break, we were talking about, you know, your work with a client who you coached on, you know, on their values and how to display those by way of the actual policies and structuring people's job descriptions. And interestingly, the results that you shared were so, you know, interesting that just by telling it like it is in terms of the way the job description really was, instead of trying to model family values when maybe that wasn't the nature of this particular job, resulted in such a, you know, a huge turnaround in their costs. Jeff, you know, what advice can you give to business leaders who are out there along the lines of, you know, how do they keep from, in these challenging, pressured times, from slipping away from their values into something that, you know, could end up wiping them out? You know, how do we keep those sneaky things out of our cultures?
You know, we are all probably one to two decisions away from going off the cliff at any one time, all of us. And some people may not agree with that, but I think that's a general life statement, whether it's how we run our company, things in our personal life, with our families. You know, all it takes, I coach and have coached a lot of soccer and basketball, all it takes is, you know, one tirade with a ref or a parent or one of the kids on the field, of which you're no longer a coach. Right? We're all just one or two decisions away from things potentially blowing up. And, you know, unfortunately, we tend to learn at least more quickly through pain, although it doesn't always have to be that way, than we do from doing things all right. So, you know, how do you find yourself... I think, Steve, you're asking, and I want to make sure that you don't find yourself in that environment where all of a sudden your culture's gone awry, correct?
Exactly. Exactly.
Just my own self, two things. I'll make it very simple. One, do you have someone in your life who is independent, principled, who doesn't have anything really to gain or lose by your own decisions, that can be objective and truthful and holistic with you? In my case, that's not going to buy my BS. That's not going to buy my ability to sell my way through something. And I have a gentleman who ran a major publicly traded company. They've had stadiums named after him, not after him, but after the company in this area. You know, he's kind of the guy I sit down with and say, hey, here's what's going on. And I just know there's not really anything I can say that's going to impress him. So I believe one thing is, do you have a person, a man or woman, that's a trusted person of counsel and advice? Number two is, do you have a board? And a board can take many forms, from a governance board to a non-governance board, an advisory council, which is what we implemented at One Accord. There are organizations out there like C3 Leaders, C12, Vistage, that serve as independent peer-level boards. So in other words, you're in a peer group that has no voting rights over your company, but they're speaking into your business and into you as a leader and challenging you to grow and see things for what they are. So I think that would be the two simple things I would have, is having someone and having a group, those two things that anybody can implement, whether you own a auto repair shop right now, or you're the managing director of a law firm, you're in running a hospital, you know, or you're in a not-for-profit. Those two things I think can apply across any industries.
So recently had an interaction with the client who essentially asked for advice. You know, here's what I'm doing, here's what I'm thinking, and, you know, asked a handful of folks for advice. And then when the advice came back in a manner that was inconsistent with the attaboy or attagirl, aren't you wonderful kind of perspective that I think they were seeking, you know, the advice was confrontational and disagreement, not in a negative way, but in a positive way. They became, you know, very offended. Now, whether or not they stay offended still remains to be seen, but, you know, became offended and you know, abrupt and, you know, short in the communications. You know, what advice can you, I mean, all of us have done that. I mean, I've done it with my kids. You know, I've done it with employees. When you hear feedback, you know, we're told that feedback is the breakfast of champions, and if you don't eat the breakfast of champions, you can't be a champion. But all of us have had situations where people, you know, like these, you know, advisors that you've coached us to engage in and to be a part of, give us feedback that isn't what we want to hear, and it stuns us and makes us angry and frustrated, and we have a tendency to cut the relationship short. What advice would you have for those of us who have experienced that, both on the receiving advice end and on the giving advice end?
Sure. That hot fire poker just went right into me and hurt.
We told you that there might be a fastball coming that just popped out of serendipity for the moment, Jeff.
That piercing wound in my side now. And one of the interesting elements, Steve, I think of that question is those that it's hardest to receive it from are typically those that we're closest with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, starting within my own family. When I get some of those tough questions from family members, they have a...
Usually your wife, I'm sure.
Yeah, they have a searing aspect that is different than anybody else. You know, coming from those I work most closely with here at One Accord, you know, again, is harder for me to hear maybe than kind of that counsel. So, generally speaking, I think one thing to do is to make sure that you have people that you respect. So the selection of those people is key. People that you respect and knowing yourself who you can listen to. So, you know, if it's someone sharing things that is going to impassion me in such a way I can't even listen, while that may be right and maybe even best for me, if I can't receive it, that goes back to the absolute compassion. In other words, if someone has the truth, but can they deliver it in a way you can receive it? So I think we have to look first to say, make sure that we've got people we can hear. There's just some people I can't hear from, whether I'm too close to them or the way they communicate is not going to fit me. But let's say you do have that, and then they share things that you really don't want to hear. It would be easy to sit here and say, well, then the answer is you just need to suck it up within yourself and, you know, make that call. Could be true. Speaking from both with our clients, but just our own internal workings as a company, you know, I've had to step back and then just say, is that counsel consistent with the knowledge and the belief I have about this business? Because just because it's good counsel does not mean it's right. As a matter of fact, the decision we made to make these kind of sweeping changes were made with counsel of people that I, you know, really thought highly of in the organization. And I own it. I'm chairman, CEO. I own it. I'm not going to push that on anybody else. But my instinct was saying, I don't think we're going about this the right way culturally. So you've got to listen and know and understand yourself. You know, if you founded a company, if you founded the organization, you're kind of, in essence, the father of it or the mother of it. You've birthed it. You probably have an eye or ear towards what it should be more so than anybody else will. So don't discount what you know to be true. You have to be careful there. But when you do receive then that counsel that's very difficult, what I've learned to do is to take notes and reiterate what I heard back to that person to make sure I received it well, and oftentimes I didn't or needs clarification. and agree to come back at a later time to discuss whatever that is. Because sometimes in that moment, it's very raw and difficult.
So note-taking as a practice to improve listening, and then an agreement to let the emotions decompress and come back and revisit the content at a later time sound like best practices for leaders to get better at accepting feedback, both good as well as bad and even sometimes ugly. Is that what you're saying?
You bet. You bet. I mean, there's those, Steve, there's those quarterbacks that can come to the line like Peyton Manning, and they can read the line, right? They can read the defensive set, and they can call an audible on the moment, right? Because they have such experience, and somehow their demeanor is wired for that. You know, there's other quarterbacks that come to that scenario with a play called. They'll either run the play or they may take a timeout.
Yeah.
And I know for me, sometimes you just need to take a timeout.
Yeah. Now, so timeout for bosses.
Better than an interception.
Yeah, timeout for bosses. So the next quote that we're going to float that we've heard you say that is so awesome is that timeout for leaders is always better than an interception.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Jeff, thank you so much for sharing with us. I mean, you've been so open and so transparent and so candid. I know that so many of our listeners are benefiting so significantly from your relational expertise. Awesome job. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. You've been listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180. You can catch us every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. And we want to thank Jeff Rogers of One Accord. You can find them on Twitter at One Accord and on the internet at oneaccordpartners.com. Make sure you check them out. Don't forget, also, listeners, that you can catch us online at excellentcultures.com, Twitter at XLNT Cultures, on Facebook. Sign up for our daily culture coaching email, and we'll sign off with this great quote from our friend Jack Welch. Before you're a leader, success is all about growing yourself. When you become a leader, success is all about growing others. Thank you. Listen in next Saturday.